Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
A shocking blue bringing us back 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. John Berlau is our guest. He's a senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, and he's an expert on many things, including what the government is up to with regard to some of the financial things, the financial industry especially. John, you gave us a great report on what they were working on with the CFPB, Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, and the transitions that are going on over there. Now let's talk about some of the access to capital issues that the president talked about and that the Congress is working on. What's happening?
Yes, well, the flip side of access to capital for entrepreneurs is access to wealth building for ordinary investors. And we've, you know, crippled both with starting with, you know, what George W. Bush and the Democrats pushed through and signed with the Sarbanes-Oxley Act
right.
in 2002.
That was a nightmare.
Continuing with Dodd-Frank of the Obama administration, we've made it so that there are fewer public companies on U.S. stock exchanges at any time since in 40 years. Even in the 1975, the bear market, they had more.
In the five or six years following Sarbanes-Oxley, which was a total reaction that didn't solve anything. It just crippled, as you say, capital building. I had many business owners, founders of corporations that went public in the 90s, let's say, who either went back private because they were small companies, small cap, and they couldn't justify the cost of Sarbanes-Oxley. So they took the companies back private, and some of them said, if they were trying to go public now, and say in 2006, where they had gone public in 1996, I don't know how many of them told me they couldn't do it now if they were trying to.
Well, one of the ones who said in several interviews, I don't know if you've talked to him, was Bernie Marcus, the co-founder of Home Depot, who said, you know, he couldn't have done it today and might not have been able to build Home Depot.
Right.
But when he went public in 81, this is what's amazing, and we forget about this, even though it's in some of our lifetimes, that Home Depot had just four stores.
Wow.
People went public back in those days before the red tape
right.
to raise capital, and then anybody couldn't, they were on the NASDAQ, anybody could invest. And imagine if you'd invested in Home Depot back in 1981, but today you don't have the choice as far as
right.
the stock market is a risk, but people should have the choice. When Facebook went public, by contrast, it was raising $80 billion in its IPO. Whereas, you know, and also Starbucks, Cisco Systems, some of the ones in the 90s, including the early 90s, went public at less than $50 million.
Right, right. Now, remind the audience why that's a problem right now.
Well, that's a problem because people want to build, well, entrepreneurs want to access capital by going public. And people people should have the opportunity to build wealth in their portfolios. And we just generally have a lack of small cap companies and a lack of companies to choose from. There's too many dollars chasing too few stocks, so that could even add to the
and
bubble.
IPOs are going across the ocean too, aren't they? Over to London, a lot of them are over to London. Of course, then you got the Dodd-Frank bill on top of Sarbanes-Oxley. And it's just one more layer of misery on growing companies.
Yes, and then the Dodd-Frank bill compounded it by making companies put in their earnings reports things on whether they've used conflict minerals, whether some of the tin or gold they may have used might have at some point come from the Congo, which is kind of impossible to figure out because, gold they call the world's most recycled material and other things. And regardless of, how noble the motivations are, I mean, it's not really have anything to do with shareholder accuracy. So, but the good news is that there are at least some, there was with the Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act in 2012, and some of the things in the Financial Choice Act building it, there was at least a recognition that, not every thing that applies to the Fortune 500 companies should apply to a small company trying to go public, and investors should be able to choose. And there are bipartisan bills, like which one that passed the House by voice vote, but still need to get the senators off their butts, called H.R. 1585, the Fair Investment and Opportunities for Professional Expert Act by Congressman Schweikert from Arizona,
right,
where it allows, you know, some ordinary non-wealthy investor to join the ranks of accredited investors if they've shown, you know, their investing confidence as far as, like, being a stockbroker, investment advisor,
right,
or other things, because we've created this inequality. You know, the left talks about inequality. We've created this inequality through regulation, where these companies at their early stages
and that hurts the job creators. That's the thing that people that the elitists forget, is that when a company grows, it makes money for the wealthy, but it also creates a job. And I'll remind people the old joke, or the old saying about the guy, you know, the guy sitting there with obviously blue collar, and he said, no poor man ever gave me a job.
Right. Well, this is an interesting twist, because this prevents prevents middle class investors from being the job creators.
Right.
If they want you, they're
that's my point.
You don't have to be an accredited gambler to go to Las Vegas, but you have to be to take a risk in the stock market. They think now you have to be an accredited investor.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought, John. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about cryptocurrencies. John's an expert in that too. He's like a Renaissance man, ladies and gentlemen. John Berlau, CEI.org, right, John?
Yes, CEI.org.
Competitive Enterprise Institute. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.